my name's Joe. So I'm on staff with the crew. Finally got to meet you. Tonight we're going to be continuing our series called Christ Compels Me. And so, you're going to be hearing from myself, like we heard from Jason last week, what it is about God and about Jesus that not only motivates us, but compels us to go share our faith with others and also shepherd others as they grow closer to the Lord. Ask that you guys bear with me a little bit, because I've actually only given a talk at 180 once before, back in March of 2020. And I have a photo. I don't know where I'm supposed to point this. Turn it on. That would help. How do I turn it on? Left side. That one, found it. Still didn't do anything. There you go. I had clicker problems when I also gave a talk last time. That's me. 2020. And so if you can tell one thing that's still a little different, my hair. This was the Thursday before our spring break. So we're leaving to go to PCB the following day. And myself, Jeffrey Barner, another staff guy that's no longer on our team, we sat down, we're like, we're going to Florida. Obviously, we need to get frosted tips. And the problem is, I didn't really have that long of hair, and so it's just like bleaching the top of my head. And also poor planning, because then I spoke at 180. But it looked really great in Florida. But then the weird thing, too, is that we went to Florida, felt very Floridian. But then students got emails like, spring break's pushed back a week. Actually, now it's going to be everything's virtual the rest of the semester, because like this thing, COVID. So I don't know where you guys are at, but I'm just sitting there, like Florida, coming back to Ohio. Things just start shutting down, like universities, businesses, coffee shops, restaurants, barber shops. I walked around like that for like a month and a half. There are people that saw me in public and were like, that's an interesting choice that this kid made. And I couldn't tell them, because COVID, 6 feet apart, that it wasn't like a choice other than like for fun. It was supposed to be gone. But it was fine, you know? It's COVID, nothing mattered. Last week, if you were here, you got to hear Jason Hoffman talk about how Christ's compassion compels him to share his faith with others and to pour his life into other people. So tonight, I'm going to talk about how God's faithfulness does that for me, compels me to do all these things. I mean, I joined staff right out of college, 2017, proud Bobcat alum. And then it's even kind of crazy. I think I have a slide, actually, that I'm going to do. I didn't want to leave that picture up. But 2016, getting ready to graduate. And I'm not someone that always feels an overwhelming, strong call from the Lord to do one thing or another. It's like, this is in line with what I know about God, so like, let's just do it. But one of the things that I felt so strongly God was calling me to was to join staff. And so, joined staff right out of college. It was great. But, lost my train of thought. But tonight, God's faithfulness compels me to share my faith with others, to build others up in their walk with him. And I'm going to kind of lay it out. One, what does it mean that God's faithful? And then also why his faithfulness should not only compel me to be faithful, but for all of us to go share our faith, walk with him. And so first I'm going to pray. So yeah. God, just thank you so much for our ability to meet here. Just pray that you speak through me. Pray that you give me the ability to communicate clearly. And just highlight so much of your greatness, your faithfulness to us, and how that should motivate us and compel us to be faithful, to reach out to other people, to build into them, Lord. Hear my prayer, amen. And so, I actually have a definition, because sometimes we hear God's faithfulness a lot. It's in a bunch of worship songs. It was in the worship song we were singing before this. This is a definition that was in a Gospel Coalition article that I was reading, and so it says, God is unchanging in his nature, true to his word, has promised salvation to his people through Jesus Christ, and will keep his promises forever. He is worthy of eternal trust, no matter how unlikely his promises seem. So we think of God being faithful and his faithfulness. We think of these things, right? God is not changing. He doesn't lie. He makes these promises, and he's fully going to fulfill them. I mean, we're celebrating this weekend that he sent his son to die for us so that we're able to have an eternal relationship with him. That is something he promised us, and that we can have faith and trust in. And so I also want to point out, though, we're going to jump into one passage. First, it's going to be Exodus 34. This is actually God proclaiming proclaiming what is true of him. So if you turn to your Bibles, Exodus 34, or just look up on the screen. But Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7 says, "The Lord passed before and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, the children's children, to the third and fourth generation.'" And so the main reason I bring up this verse is I can talk about how God's faithful, but also God says about himself that he's faithful. And I think the thing I love about this is that he doesn't just say this randomly, but this actually comes at a pretty key time in Exodus. And so if you're not familiar with Exodus, Exodus 32, the Israelites do something incredibly boneheaded where Moses is, you know, they were in Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt, led by Moses, right? Moses goes up to Mount Sinai and is spending 40 days, 40 nights with God. He's giving him instruction and then the two tablets to lead his people. And so he's gone, and I'm going to paraphrase this, so don't quote me on any of this. You should just read all of Exodus 32, but it's too long for me to read. But basically, the Israelites go up to Aaron, who Moses left in charge, and he's like, "Hey," they're all like, "Moses, probably dead. We don't know where he's at. We haven't seen him. Can you make us some gods that we can worship that can bring us out of where we're at?" And Aaron's like, "Sure, checks out, let me do that." Takes gold from them and like fashions together a golden calf statue, and then is like, "Here," I didn't have time to make a slide, but I was gonna have the Will Smith thing where he's like this and like a statue of a golden cow. And he's like, "Here's your gods that led you out of Egypt," which it's like, no, clearly not the gods. So they start worshiping this statue. And then Moses, still with the Lord, God knows what's going on, is like angry, and he's communicating his righteous anger for the Israelites doing this thing to Moses. And Moses then tells God, like, "Don't be angry at them. Remember your faithfulness and remember your promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and all this promise that you promised them to multiply their offspring, make them a great nation." So God relents. Moses goes down, gets closer. Here's like them like these like cries. They're like, "Oh, it's as if they just won a war." They come up and they see them worshiping the statue. And Moses then just gets mad and just like breaks the tablets. He's like, "What are you doing?" So obviously, I was reading this a while ago. Anytime I read Exodus, I just sit there and I'm like, these guys are idiots. Like, this doesn't make sense. They just saw God do all these amazing things. They were in Egypt being enslaved. And they're just going about, they're like, "Well, like, Moses has been gone for a little bit. God no longer exists in my mind. Like, I'm just going to worship something else." Like, they told him to make the statue. And I'm just like, this is dumb. Doesn't make sense. But same way, I'm ignorant like that. I'm short-sighted like that. I'm so quick to forget all the faithfulness that God's done. So like I said, joined staff in 2017, and I felt so sure that God called me to join staff. And then for 2 years, if you don't know, Crew Staff, we support raise. We create a team of like ministry partners, partner with us prayerfully and financially. And I'm like, it's going to be super easy. I'll be back on campus before they know it. Like, everyone's not going to think I even left. This is going to be great. 2 years spent doing this and didn't go as smoothly as I thought. I was constantly met up with friends, family, like people from my church, people that poured into me when I was in high school, people that were excited that I was continuing to grow in my faith in college. And I had them tell me how they weren't only not excited, but some of them were like, we think it's dumb what you're doing. And so it was just kind of, yeah, it was very strange for me to comprehend. I had so many people that were like close to me that just ended up ghosting any calls or texts that I sent. I would go to church. I actually stopped going to church for a while because my home church service would end and I would like make eye contact from across the room with someone that was ghosting me. And I'm sometimes a confrontational person, and by sometimes, most of the time. And so I'm like, I'm gonna go talk to them. And they avoided me, like, it was crazy. So, stopped going to church, stopped reading my Bible, still trying to do the support raising thing, but it was mainly just getting frustrated. The only time I like talked to God was to just like express all this anger I was feeling. And it was as if like all of these things that he did in college, all these things he did prior in my life, the ways I've seen him be faithful, just didn't exist. And I was just like, what is going on? This just doesn't make sense. It's actually like a pretty dark time in my life. And so I was, it's still like ways that I'm figuring out like, oh, this has actually scarred me to this day in this area. I think the big thing, especially is with God being faithful, is that we have to remember that God is faithful regardless of our experience. And so it's hard to remember that. But ways that in the midst of all this or growing out of the season where I just didn't believe in God being faithful, some of the ways that I got out of that, and I think that we have to constantly remind ourselves to do, the first one is really complicated. Read your Bible. It sounds very straightforward, but it's not a coincidence that I was not believing all of these things about God, ignoring his faithfulness, and I was not in scripture to prove me otherwise. Like, so much of my time, the last 2 years, I've just been sitting in scripture, seeing God's faithfulness over and over and over again. And then it's opened my eyes to seeing it over and over again in my life. And so you take that out, it's no wonder I'm not seeing it. I'm not acknowledging it. I'm acting like it's not even there. And then another thing that goes along with it is finding specific promises that God makes in scripture. This is definitely something that many of you probably have heard when we've talked about like walking in the Spirit. But the main thing, having faith is, like that definition said, believing that God is true to his word, is unchanging, and that when he makes promises, he's going to fulfill them. Whether it's the way we think that it's going to happen, whether we see it the way that we want it to happen, it's just he makes promises, he fulfills them. And so with his faithfulness, he calls us to be faithful, right? And so I don't really have a point about that, but called to be faithful. But next thing we're going to jump to is 2 Timothy 2:2. I lost my train of thought again. The reason that this is important, and the reason I want to turn to this, is not only is God faithful, he calls us to be faithful, but in his faithfulness, we shouldn't only be faithful, but we are called to walk out our faith. We're called to share the gospel. It's called to be a faith that draws us to action. And so 2 Timothy 2:2 says, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. And so the main reason I bring this up, so many of you, if you're at Winter Retreat, heard this from Hirsch, heard him talk about this and the idea of spiritual multiplication, about investing your life in other people, sharing the gospel, all this stuff. I'm going to turn it a little bit. That's still important. That's still the main message of this verse. But in light of, I think, remembering God's faithfulness and remembering how our faithfulness should compel us to action, I want to look at this in the sense that not looking downstream of take your faithfulness, go to faithful men, that then we'll take it to more faithful people. But instead thinking of Paul, who is writing this letter, by all definitions, is faithful in his ministry and faithful to the Lord. And he does all these things, writing letters to churches, proclaiming the gospel, instructing people such as Timothy. His faith has brought about tons of action that he's acting out of his faith. And then Timothy, earlier in the passage, Paul calls Timothy faithful. He even talks about how his grandma's faithful, his mom's faithful, he's faithful. And I think continuing to remind us of God's faithfulness, but we also need to continue to think about people in our lives that have invested in us, have cared for us, have shared the gospel with us. And I mean, if you think about people that have been super influential in your life in the area of your walk with the Lord, there's probably a lot of ways that you could describe them. I would hope one of the ways you could describe them is that they're faithful. And so I think it's always a good reminder that sometimes we're like, all right, what does it look like for me to be faithful and to act this out? Well, obviously, looking at Scripture, seeing Christ as an example, Paul talks about how he's for people to imitate him because he's imitating Christ. But it's important that if there's people that have pushed you to grow in your faith, have invested in you, poured into you, because they're faithful to the Lord, it's a safe bet that like they're good examples for you to follow, and that can help you start to think, okay, what does it look like for me in my faithfulness to pursue the Lord, pursue other people? And so this was something that, again, going back to my time, support raising, did it for 2 years, took like a hit of support beginning of 2019 or August 2019. And I'm just like, man, I just want to be on campus. Like, I'm done with this. Switched to part-time. It's the last like several years from 2019 to now. It's part-time staff. Switched back to full-time back in January of 2023. And was seeing God do so many things, being so faithful. But so much of my time still, I was reflecting back on those years and not thinking about God's faithfulness in that, or not even looking to where God would have been faithful. I just kept thinking, man, that sucked. I hope that this is not what that was. But thankfully, God put so many people in my life during that time, people on this team, friends, I had so many built-up walls that made me numb and oblivious to God's faithfulness. And in their faithfulness to the Lord, cared for me, encouraged me, a lot of times asked me questions and didn't let me run behind my walls to not answer it. But all these people are important. I thought I was going to be bragging about our staff team and so many of the people. They're great. But actually, like an hour ago, I had this thought. So this is a little bit unprepared. But about a year ago, I was on my way to 180 in the midst of support raising. Technically, wasn't allowed to be here, but who cares? I was support raising. And then got a call from my mom that a really close family friend died. His wife had passed several years prior. I was actually supposed to, because he was a ministry partner of mine, get lunch with him the following week. So I was on the hallway of the third floor, on the verge of tears, because I'm like, why am I feeling this emotional? Like, they were really influential. They were in my church, like, close to our family, partners with me. But I'm like, why am I feeling this emotional right now? And it's as if, like, in a movie where main character is, like, either someone dies or they're thinking about a relationship with someone, and they have all these, like, flashbacks, and it's, like, montage of scenes with this person. It's weird, but this is, like, the thought I had was this guy and his wife, not only in my youth group growing up, how they cared for me, challenged me, helped me grow, but we're excited. We're some of the first people to partner with me when I went on summer mission as a college student. We're some of the first people to partner with me when I joined staff. His wife died of cancer several years prior to him. She had like hunched over, basically had to like look at the ground. And I just keep thinking about like all the times I was support raising, doubting God's faithfulness, or just not even acknowledging it. I'd be sending texts knowing they weren't going to get answered, making calls, knowing they weren't going to get answered. In the midst of that, we'd get a text from these people encouraging me, just saying that they thought about me and that they loved me. Be at church, seeing so many people just like avoid my eye line and walk away. And then these people would just like seek me out, just give me the biggest hug, which is a big deal. If you don't know me, I don't like hugs. But they just like gave me the biggest hug and like would just grab my hand and be like, how are you doing? Have you heard more, like, what is God doing in your life? What is God doing on the college campus? They knew I wasn't reported, I wasn't on campus, I was support raising, but they cared so deeply. When this guy's wife died, it was incredibly sad, but he continued to be really faithful, continued to check in with me. Even as he got cancer, continued to check in with me. And I got the privilege, after he passed away, to go to his memorial service, where person after person just got up, just shared how faithful that him and his wife were, and how so much of what he did was because he was faithful to the Lord. And it like hit me. I'm like, wow, I was ignorant to God's faithfulness, but these people, in their faithfulness to the Lord, God used them to try and remind me of his faithfulness. I wish I realized that then, but instead I just like got hit very overwhelmed, and so then I started crying a lot. But yeah, it was just overwhelming. And so I think in the same way, often having to think of, if we're struggling to remember God's faithfulness, to think of people who we know out of their faithfulness to the Lord, and they're faithful because he's faithful, what have they done? What is it about God's faithfulness that has made them faithful to act this out in their life? And so, sorry, I didn't think I was going to share that, and so I'm kind of just a little, but our faithfulness should compel us to reach and shepherd others as these people did, as so many of the people that I've experienced from our staff team, the same way that I hope and strive to be able to do out of God's faithfulness to do for college students. And so some ways I think of how we think about this is, one, in thinking of the people that have gone before us that have been faithful. I think reading Hebrews 11 is great. It's just like a huge, God is faithful, but here's all these people that are faithful and highlighting all of this. It's really amazing. People often refer to it like Hall of Faith kind of passage. And so I think in light of that too, thinking through faithful people in your life, like those people that I talked about in mine, whether that's family members, loved ones, big sibling, upperclassman, staff person, youth group leader, whatever it is. And then finally, again, not a shocker, pray. Pray that God, that you have a reverence for God's faithfulness to the point that it develops a faithfulness in you where you want nothing more than to go share your faith. You want to build into others. Can't remember if I have another slide after this, or if it's just the, yeah, it's that one. Yeah, so I'm gonna get ready to pray out in a second, have the band come up. But I just kinda wanna end on this, is that as I was preparing for this, I just kept thinking, like, God is so faithful. And I've seen so many people, because God is faithful, that they've been faithful and have invested in me. The number of people that have shared scripture with me, encouraged me, poured into me, all of these things. And I just keep thinking, like, how can my response be anything different than to be faithful to the Lord and out of that go and share my faith, to shepherd others, to build into them in the same way that God longs for me to do, same way that he's called others to do in my own life, just solely out of the fact that God is so, so faithful. Yeah, so I'm going to pray. Welcome the band back up. But God, yeah, we just thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you that you're a God that is that doesn't change, that is true to his word, and that is faithful. Yeah, and I pray for all of us that we just take time this weekend as we even just reflect on your son's death and the faithfulness that you have to send him to die for our sins, that we can just reflect on the ways that you've been so, so faithful to us. Now you've raised up other people in our lives that have demonstrated and showed their faithfulness and have cared for us through that, that we can imitate that, that we can care for others and be sent out out of faithfulness to you to reach others. Amen.
Thanks to our listeners for tuning into this episode of the 180 Podcast, a production of Crew in Southeast Ohio. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a like, a share, or leave an encouraging comment, and that will go a long way toward helping others hear about the podcast. The podcast isn't the only thing that we do. Whether you're a student living on campus or if you're still at home studying virtually, we'd encourage you to check us out on social media to hear more about what's going on. You can follow us on Instagram at crew@OU, or to learn more about who we are and what we do, head over to our website, crew@OU.org. We'd encourage you, if you visit the site, to complete our involvement form to get more connected to all the things that are happening. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next Thursday for another episode of